So my name is Ethan, and I am one of the other faculty for Living Roots. And today we're going to talk about, as she mentioned, alternative building technologies. And we have Saprim is going to speak first, and then Manu, and I'll introduce each of them. I just wanted to say today, for me, my background is I finished school in 2001 in the States in environmental studies, and then I spent 5 years working in energy efficiency and green building in the States. And for me, I did diagnostic testing in buildings and worked with builders and homeowners in the States on efficiency programs and trying to bring that into buildings there. And then I also went and worked with a consulting company for the U.S. government to try to market energy efficiency in the States. And both of these were excellent experiences, but I think the challenge I found was working with the mainstream in the U.S. was that we're still working on this kind of within a system that still was using a lot of energy and still having a lot of impact on the environment. And so what I'm hoping that we can get to today is kind of talking about some alternatives that aren't based in that system. And I think both Saprim and Manu will kind of discuss that. So as Saprim's setting up, I'll just introduce him. So Saprim Maini, he's a French Aurevillian architect. He's the director of the Auroville Earth Institute, which many of you may know. He's also a representative for India and South Asia to the UNESCO Chair of Earth and Architecture. He has a postgraduate master in Earth and Architecture. He's also a consultant to the UN and member of the International Center for Earth Construction in France. He works as an architect and builder, also a consultant and a researcher and trainer and lecturer. So, full spectrum. And he's worked on buildings ranging from a mosque in Saudi Arabia to buildings in Somalia and France, and then many buildings in India, a lot in this area. So he's going to talk to us about basically alternative building materials and primarily earth and architecture. So okay, just want to introduce Saprim.
First, for the introduction, I'm French, as you heard. I speak fast with a strong French accent. So don't get lost. If you get lost, as you want, I will try to speak slowly and articulate a bit more, maybe. And I cannot lose the French accent. So I will show here now what has been done in the world before with Earth and what we do in Auroville today. From Auroville, not only in Auroville, but elsewhere in the world. So we start first with this map of earth buildings in the world. You have earthen buildings almost everywhere in the world, even in the jungle here you have a few, you should put a small dot here and there. But the UN Change of Habitat estimate, oh, it's a bit short, but at least this one. 40% of the world population living in earthen houses. So some say 50, but to be safe you can say 40. And when you know that about 25% of the world population does not have access to decent housing, you have to consider why not Earth again to be increased. UNESCO states that about 17% of the world heritage is with Earth. And there is quite a few also which are in danger. And yes, and in fact 25% and 40% among the most endangered buildings in the world. So it's just to say that a building is almost as old as man. So now we'll go back to history. Mari in Syria, founded in 2008 BC, destroyed in 1765 BC, something like this, long ago. And then flooded by the Euphrates River, long ago also. The Euphrates River is behind there. And there was a restoration program to see what was the city and what was the alluvials on the river. You can really see clearly the walls and the soil brought by the river. That means even if it was just mud, it did not even melt with water from the river. And after you have really the wall which is still strong. Now, the oldest building that you can still see standing is this one, Ramesseum in Egypt. It's about 3,300 years these days. It was founded under the 19th dynasty. And since about, maybe what, 2,500 years, this building has no maintenance at all. And you can still see the building. I took the photo in 88. And if you go today, we'll have almost the same. This building has taken about 132 meters of rainfall since its foundation. If you take an average rainfall in Luxor now at 30 mm per year, if you assume that it was the same rainfall 3,000 years ago, it is 132 meters of rainfall on this building. Just mud. And I challenge any concrete building to last so long. And then Tabor Monastery in India, which is the oldest one in India. It has this year 1,013 years. And then here we have Sanaa in Yemen. In France now, a chateau in the 19th century. I will come back after I have the photos for that. A mosque in Mali. I think this one got the Aga Khan Award for architecture. It was built in the, I think, in the 60s. This is Morocco, Tibet. I have to go a bit fast because I have quite some photos, but I will try to speak a bit easier so. If you want more information, you can see you can come to our center or see our website. But what happened in the so-called modern times, architecture completely declined. Because with this so-called modern revolution in the 19th century, architecture was slowly forgotten. Though you have still 40% of people living in other houses. And what we owe in fact as in Fatih is on this side. In fact, we owe to Hassan Fatih the renaissance of architecture in the 20th century. He started from Egypt, of course, from where he was, and then he went to USA and different places. And our group that I'm a member of in France were really directly linked with him, I would say on a more ethereal level. And we have basically 12 different techniques of Earth. There are little more than that, but we can regroup them in 12 techniques. I will just show photos now. First one is called Earth Dug Out. This is China. You have a school here. They just dig a hill and then do the classrooms like a cave. And you have staircases, galleries, and so on. See, there was some erosion somewhere here. But they keep the trees on top to hold the hill. Because if you have no vegetation, it will erode. Like, you know, how was the Roville at the beginning? So dug out again, but underground now, in a channel again. So here you have a staircase to go down the courtyard, like this. And then the cave on the side. And you have millions of Chinese living in this kind of dwellings. In China again. Now we go to Burkina Faso with a technique called cut block. You can still follow my French, yes? Okay. So cut blocks. So this is called lateritic soil, which is a soil which has a property to harden in contact with the air. There is a weathering effect which transforms the earth into a stone. Over decades sometimes, and sometimes over 1 year. Depends on the type of soil. So this is, I will not enter too much in details, it will take too long. But this is, they just cut the block with a pickaxe, and at this stage, the earth is already a stone. It's called a crust. It's laterite crust, that means over the years and centuries, it became a stone. And you have in Orissa the same. In Orissa it's also a crust. In Kerala, it's a natural ground which hardens in a few months after it being excavated. Like in Goa. Goa is the same. Goa has a Basilica of Jesus with the rest of Saint Francis Xavier from the 16th century. And entirely with laterite. Even this lintel here is laterite stones. It's a flat arch. And the only stones are these columns only for decoration. You have only what, 6 stone columns in the building. All the rest is laterite. Now again, earth cut, but it's called sod. Here they take in Uruguay some topsoil with grass to stack it on the wall like this. After they can plaster it if they want to have more protection from rain. Now we go to USA with the works of Nadal Khalili. would fill in. As you can see, he has this kind of PVC bags, plastic bags, which are they are long tubes. In fact, you can cut them any length you want. You can have the long tube of 10 meters if you want, or a small like a bag, and extract it like this. And after, of course, a lot of plastering to get the shape. So this is a different technique. I would never build with this, I guess. But I'm an architect, but more a mason than just stack of piles. In Germany, it's the same kind of research in the school of Kassel. So the same type of tubes, which are just whitewashed here. Mm-hmm. On top, you have earth to cover. It's called covered earth. So this is the type of green roof people do now. And this kind of technique from the covered earth is coming from Scandinavia, from Finland, Norway, Denmark, where people used to cover their roof to have a thermal mass on top, because earth is not insulating. Earth is it has a high thermal mass, but it is quite it has very high U value. But when you have minus 40 at night and minus 30 in the day, they're happy to have a room of maybe 5 inside. And then this thermal mass will avoid the potential to jump from day to night. And they have before a back of a tree, a birch tree, of the waterproofing, and then topsoil and grass. In Germany, the same, covered earth here, in the same technique. Of course, now you have bitumen sheets or plastic sheets for the waterproofing. Then we go to ground earth in Morocco. So here we have one form which is laid horizontally. That means you put one form here, ram it by course of about 12 centimeters to 15 centimeters. Then move the form when you have finished. That means you do a big bridge. You, in fact, it's like if you do a wall with a brick of about minimum 3 feet long, 2 feet wide, and just go like this, and maximum, yes, 3 feet high. In Ladakh, just in Leh, the Tsemo Monastery, with round earth again. In France, a château, this was built after the French Revolution, because with the fall of the aristocracy, the bourgeois from the villages, they wanted to imitate the nobles. At least they wanted to have a château like the nobles, even if they were supposed to, they wanted to kill the aristocracy, but the new bourgeois became a new aristocracy. And then they knew how to build with branders. It is the area from where I come from, around Lyon, Bourg-en-Bresse, and Grenoble. And there are 3 or 4 like this in this zone. And the only stones are the lintels and the porch entrance. All the rest is plaster. Just a fake plaster to imitate stones, because they did not even have money to buy stones. Then round earth in USA with David Easton. Now the round earth is stabilized with cement. So they have the same type of form than Tibet. I cannot show too many slides here, but just to give you a glimpse of what is done in the world. Then Australia. A motel on 3 floors, again with stabilized round earth. Australia has a very big network of house builders, especially with round earth. In USA, mostly round earth in California, and as well as adobe in New Mexico, Texas, and California also. Now we go to what is called compressed earth blocks. So this is the first stress in history of somebody who did round earth compressed blocks. In fact, he just did some small wooden moulds, and then it just hung inside the soil. This was 1803. And now, since then, this kind of machinery has been developed with the first trial called Sinvaram, done in Colombia in 1952. And then after many machines were developed, up to motorized units, mobile units, and planes also. So, examples in Bamako, Mali. That means this is just to show that you don't have low-cost housing and cheap building for people. This is a French cultural center, founded by the French government. Mayotte, also founded by the French government. Mayotte is a small island near Madagascar. They have built, in fact, yes. This is data completely outdated, because the last data that we had was about in 2000, and people just keep on building. It was a major program set up by my friend from France. A school in UNESCO, I built this school in 2 months. So this was in Somalia. So this is a type of rocks which pushed me to Auroville, in fact, because with the group Crater, I'm a member of Crater, the International Center for Earth Constitution. I was always sent to the task force here and there. It's like a sky jump, and then you have to do everything in 4 weeks. It means set up, find the soil, set up the blockyard, train people, do the blocks, and build a building in between. And then that's why I came to Auroville, to do something in the long term, but not only for architecture, but for something else. So this was built in 2 months with local people. This was built in 2 weeks in Ivory Coast. So you can build fast with us also. This was built in even shorter, in 30 hours. We call this the house of 24 hours of the earth, because we wanted to build it in 24 hours, but we could not manage, but did it in 3 days of 10. So 30 hours totally at that stage. And after the finishes came in, and we're about 30 people to build this house. From here to there, about 30 hours.
How many people?
About 30 people.
30.
Yeah. In fact, I was still a student at that time, but I was managing other students. In fact, I was part of the management team, but still officially a student. And we had a lot of apprentice masons. And they have never touched earth before, the guys. And it is fully covered with domes. In fact, this was in 87 for the shelter last year by UNCHS. And wanted to show that it can build with us in a speedy way. We don't speak about the cost for that, because in France, if you want to build so fast, you have to spend a lot, in a way. But in terms of speed, it can be done. Saudi Arabia, I built this exhibition center in 2 months again. This was for the Royal Commission of Yambu and Jubei. Then we go to Nigeria, we shape earth. So here, the mason shape a granary like a pot. Just stack the earth, in fact, you just shape the earth like this to have 5 to 7 centimeters thickness of walls. And this becomes granaries. This is Cameroon for both. These are granaries, so in fact, these are a kind of scaffolding to build it, because when the earth is plastic, it means very soft. They have to let it dry maybe 1 week before, when they reach this height, they have to leave it maybe 1 week. It means after, when it has dried, they can step on this stone to build the rest. And later it becomes like a staircase to access the lid, to put grains and take it out. And also the earth there is stabilized with natural products. Like they just take some juice of different plants and roots and whatever. But unfortunately this knowledge has almost disappeared, because it was a verbal knowledge and people, they forget it, they don't use it, and then it's lost. Because when it can be a heavy shower for a few hours. It's a Sahel. That means they can have this much of water in 2 hours, and then no rain for the rest of the year. That means the building should withstand such a rain, like it is for this hut here. It's called Moose Boom. It's a tribe, in fact, where they have this beehive shed with this kind of reliefs to avoid the water to erode the dome. Because this, the minimum thickness is about 5 centimeters thickness, and then you have more thickness outside, which is a relief of erosion. Because if the water runs fast, it will erode fast the dome, like on the land. That means then the water is obliged to do all these kind of contours to go slowly down, and then of course erode it slowly down. And then the dome is safe. Now in France, cob or stacked earth. So here we have a lot of straw with earth. In Ivory Coast, so they don't have straw, that's why there are cracks in the walls, because they could not add straw because they were termites. And they have no sign in the village. That's why they just leave the wall crack. It's a natural behavior of the earth, which is totally natural. And for them, they don't care. It's natural behavior, so well, they are not upset. Here, you see a tiny crack, people get mad. So you have to accept that the earth is a living being, which moves, swells, and shrinks, and this and that, and you have to accept it. Najran Palace in Saudi Arabia. A prince clever enough to repair his palace, as well as it just breaks them down. Shibam, which is a World Heritage Site by UNESCO. The first trace of settlements are the edge of the Christ, and you have up to 30 meters high buildings. It is called the Manhattan of the desert, because you have just a desert and suddenly high rise. And this shows something interesting. You see all these contours here. They have in fact two purposes. One is protection of the city from the rainfall, because you have mountains from the back where waves can come. And this is to drain the water away from the city. And second, they have taken the earth to build the city also. So it has two purposes, management of resources and rainwater protection for the city. Because in this kind of climate, you can have strong storms, and then you have a river flowing down suddenly, and people should not be on the way of the water at the time. Then molded earth, or adobe. The word adobe comes from the hieroglyph dub, if I can pronounce it well, or tub in Arabic. And the word adobe comes in fact from the Arabic tub. When the Arabs came through Spain in Europe, they said al-tub, the brick, and then progressively it became in French al-tub, atob, adobe, and adobe in English. This you have seen in a small picture. There is here reinforcement to hold the vault. There is some metal frame to hold the vault. But, and then just to locate it, you have Luxor on the right, you have the Nile at 2 kilometers, Luxor on the right. On the left, you have the old village of Gourna and the Valley of the Death. So now adobe again in Ladakh, Tibet, Haiti, Iran. Tabor Monastery also built with adobes. So it has withstood 1,013 winters. They can have snowfall till there. They just have to shovel the entrance of their buildings, and that's it. And of course, they maintain it well. And the problem now in the Himalayas, in fact, at least that I know in India, there is a problem of rainfall now, because it's a high desert above 3,500 meters high, and it was not raining until 20 years back. It was only snowing in winter. And now they have rainfall in winter time, at the beginning of winter. And of course, buildings get damaged because they have all flat roof, which were designed in a way for snow. And if you have rainfall, they're not adapted anymore. That means the building technology has to change. So now USA with again adobe. So they cast here in New Mexico miles of adobes per day with machines. You still need some labor because you have to put them vertically to dry, because they will stay like this 1, 2, or 2 days depending on the weather. And then after you put them vertically to dry faster, and they are just sun dried. A house in New Mexico. So not really for poor people. And I'm sorry to say, but I heard that Americans know they built fake adobe houses. Just wooden construction, put some rubbish with gun like this, put painted color, and they have a nice adobe house made of cement, wood, and mesh. It's a bit of nonsense, I would say, but why not? Okay. So extruded earth now, like people do the fabrics which will be fired after. You can have the same with cement, but it's not really used because the quality of soil is totally different. For the fabrics, you need much more clay. And for the soil, you need much more sand. That means the sand damage machines at the end. So it's not done really. In France, Watel and Daube. So an old house. Unfortunately, in fact, this was repaired with five bricks. Because in fact, I took it, I think, in 85. And at that time, there was nobody able to repair this kind of buildings. But in 25 years now, people are. So they have some knowledge on how to repair this and how to build them. Because they went to the old guys and then to get the knowledge. And hopefully you have some contractors in France who can repair this, do new ones, or do cobbles or as techniques. Now Somalia, again water and dome, just a branch, a dome with branches, plastered with earth. Water and dome in Auroville. So this done by Regina. Now we go strokely, called frond also, this is in Belgium. So you have basically a form where you put a lot of straw with which is bound with clay. In fact, you have just have a big heap of straw, pour a bucket of slurry of clay, let it ferment for some days, and then temper it into a form. And this cannot take load. You need to have wooden front fork shaft. Like this in Germany. According to how much clay you put in, you have different density of material. And this is a good insulation, which is totally natural. About 25 centimeters of raw clay is the same as 5 centimeters of thermopole. That means with about 25 centimeters of natural materials, you can have the normal insulation for a building in Germany. And people are working quite a lot with it. When I say a lot, it's always relative, but you have a big network of natural builders in Germany also. Now, Port Earth in New Zealand, I don't have too much photo of it because it's a difficult technique to control. Because the more water you have in the earth, the more shrinkage you get. Because when you have more water, the clay shrinks a lot, it means cracks a lot. And that's why it's difficult to control the shrinkage. There is one guy in USA who has a lot of works, but I don't have enough information from him. I wait for his information in 2 years. It may come one day. And these are the best builders, termites. Not the guy, huh? This is Burkina Faso. I was lucky enough to see the guy passing by when I saw the termite hill. Just to give the scale of the termite hill, about 4 meters high. And this is hollow. In fact, they're the best house builders and the best air conditioners. Because to live, they need a quite accurate temperature and accurate moisture content. If it's too dry or too hot, and then they will die. That means this is a ventilation chimney to cool it down. This is in Norville, small ones, only 3 feet high maximum. A nest, termite nest. So this, we could take this photo because we had the bottom concrete ring reverse on the ground, and the termites, they found a good cave without digging. And then they built the nest inside. And this is, you see, this is 3 feet. This is about, 7 centimeters there. These are the columns for the next floors. A small dome. And I'm not able to build such a shed because first I have to calculate it. But termites, they don't calculate, they just stick the earth with their saliva and they just build.
So what's the reason for these shapes? Why do they do this?
Because after they will put their eggs inside. They will put the eggs and they have no other materials than earth. That means the only way you can spend something with earth is to do a dome or a vault. That's why they just do the shapes, the organic shape, because they cannot do something, they cannot do a flat slab. That means that's why they have to do the vault or two shows. And then after they have a kind of platform, because after there will be something else on the top and then it will become more or less flat. Enfin, more or less, leveled. And then they can put their eggs. So worldwide researchers, there has got a lot of research done by different institutes and research centers in different parts of the world, USA, France, Australia, among them. Microscope analysis. So basically, the earth is bound with clay. You have basically in the soil you have gravel, sand, silt, and clay. And the clay binds the whole. And the worst enemy of clay is water, but also the best friend. Because without water, clay cannot work at all. And when there is too much water, the clay is completely diluted and then just melts away. That's why water is, in a way, the most dangerous enemy and the best friend of the clay. And you can see this is about 1 micron. This is 50 microns here. That means very small particles, research on materials, on structures. So now we come to building with us in Auroville. So in Auroville, I mostly do what I call applied research, because I cannot do a fundamental research, not even laboratory analysis. I don't have time for that, I'm not really the knowledge. Because when I went to school, I just passed 10 minutes in the laboratory, okay, we do this, we do that, and we know, then we go to the next. And unless you do things yourself, you cannot learn. And then I was sent to the world to work in different parts of the world. And until now, I have worked in 29 countries, and I can manage with almost every soil. At least, I tried, in fact, to demystify this so-called need for laboratory analysis and for scientific knowledge and this and that. And I show in Auroville that you can build preserves with almost any soil. And I teach people how to identify the soil with your own senses. And this is quite easy to do. So in our way, we use mostly what is called compressed stabilized earth blocks. So in fact, you have seen compressed earth blocks before, but the earth is almost all the time stabilized. Stabilized, it means you have to add some cement or some lime to stabilize clay against water. Because when clay gets wet, it gets completely diluted. That's why if you put some cement or some lime or other chemicals, it can become stable with water. And that's why we call them now compressed stabilized earth blocks, or CSCB. This is the center. I came in Auroville, in fact, in 1989 to build this center and to start our institute. And of course, in fact, this was only, I would say, the outer factor to make me come here. Because in fact, I was interested by Auroville suddenly, then I wanted to come, and then this project just came up, and I came for that, and I built it with the Sir Hassini. Then, basically, our center, we have been founded in 89. This have heard. We do mostly applied research, training and education, consultancy, publications, editing, and so on. This is one of our aims, because in the world today, there is quite a lot of people who know how to build with us, but they don't really, yes, they disseminate it in a way, but they don't aim people to use this material by themselves. They want always to have a certain power. It's good to know, it's good to be the only one who can do that. Then you have some work and you have some money. But I rather try to give people the means to do the thing by themselves. So we are disseminating this all over the world, till 29 countries. In 2 weeks I go to Tanzania to build a library. We have trained more than 2,000 people from 60 countries. People are coming from all over the world here to learn something from us. Our center, which was developed over different periods of time. This was done in 89. This was in 95, this one. This is my room in 2000. And now we have two more rooms in front, inside the office. I speak a lot, but if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. So our exhibition room, because we have this kind of a museum, people call it the Earth Museum. It's to display different earth techniques and different soil samples. So here we have about more than 320 samples from 89, or it's not updated, maybe from I think 91 countries now. Because you know that in the urn of the amphitheater, you have about 124 samples from these different countries that the mother wanted them to drop. But you cannot see the samples in the urn. But here you can see more than 320 samples from 89 countries. I think 91 now. But I did not update it recently. And then the Orem press, because when I came here, there was no proper equipment to build with earth, and I had to design this machine, which is sold now all over the world, including USA, Europe, Australia, China, and Africa, of course, and Asia. So basically, this is how it is done. I'm all for it. I have to remove this one. Once we sew on. Please. Yes. If you come. A video clip how we make blocks. Problem. Yes. So basically you take some earth, mix some sand and some cement, 5% cement here, mix it by hand, dry first. So now you add some water. In fact you have a totally manual process, which is in a way good for people and for the country, but which is a problem today. So now you have to, you fill the machine with this hopper. Always to have the same amount of soil inside. Then two guys press and give 15 tons of pressure on the block, 15 tons. Then the block is pulled out. Quality control, you have to press. If it goes until here, it's okay. And these blocks always, with our machine, the penetrometer never goes more 2 or 3 mm inside. That means always compress more than the average. Then the blocks are stacked for 2 days under a plastic sheet. because that's a new, they should not use moisture at all. Either with cement or lime, they should not dry at all for 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the stabilizer. Then after 2 days, they are moved in a big pile like this and cured for 4 weeks, if it is cement. If it is lime, there is a different process. So now, a test of resistance. Of course, it's not scientific, but at least we show to people what it gives. This is a fire brick, and this is a block with 5% cement only. They can be minimum 1.5 times stronger in terms of compression, and water resistance more or less the same. Of course, if I show this to a scientist, he will laugh, but at least people that have this in their mind at the end. Water resistance, not scientific at all, but this block is in water since 2 hours only. It can take the weight of a fire pan, my assistant from the beginning. Just to show the strength, of course, it's not a... This one is in water since the 5th of April 1995. That means in water since 14 years and 5 months and 4 days. No, 5 days, sorry. So 14 years, 5 months and 5 days.
And the bricks with lime are equally strength?
Yes, in fact, lime will take much more time to harden. Because lime needs, but in fact, the reaction with clay and lime is not predictable in a way, because depending on the quality of clay, the lime will have a totally different action. Cement binds more the grains of sand when lime reacts on the molecule of clay. And it is called what is called a pozzolanic reaction. It means the clay changes the nature of the lime changes the nature of clay. And this is the first reaction which happens in the first 2 weeks if the lime is humid. And after, when the lime dries, over a period of 6 months to 1 year, the blocks will increase in resistance. That's why lime blocks can be no stronger than cement blocks, but they will need much more time than cement to get hard. But the difference from cement, after 4 weeks, the cement blocks have reached its maximum strength. It will not increase after 4 weeks. But lime can increase really up to one year. And that's why lime, in a way, is more ecological than cement, because it needs less energy to be produced. There is less processing also to produce it. And also, as advantage from lime, in fact, you just save maybe, I would say, half energy for burning the stone, which is quite substitutional already. But also at the end, in the process of burning the stones, the limestone, the stone emits carbon dioxide. The cement does in the same way, because both stones are the same. Cement is coming from limestone with clay and silica. And limestone should be just pure for the lime. And this means when the limestone is gone, as it was for cement or for lime, the stone emits carbon dioxide. When the cement reacts with water later, it will not absorb any more carbon dioxide, it just reacts with water. But lime absorbs again carbon dioxide when it reacts with air and water. That's why at the end, lime is more neutral than cement for that. That's why, in a way, you have almost, I would say, half less emission. In fact, maybe you have 4 times less emission from lime to cement. And in terms of energy, about 2 times less, which is quite substantial. But the problem, you cannot use lime for every kind of soil. Lime is mostly for clay soils. The soils of Oroville are not really suitable for lime. There are not enough clay inside. I did some research, but I cannot speak too much about it. So now the blocks done by the Oran Press 3000. So we have here about 75 different blocks done by 17 mules. Our center here, our training center, entirely built with stabilized earth from foundation to waterproofing. We have here stabilized ramdos foundations. So these are stabilized ramdos walls. You have the same material in the foundations. And you will see after some photos how we do it. Then stabilize ramdos walls, vault with CSCB, and waterproofing also with stabilized earth, with a mixture of soil, sand, cement, lime, alum, and tannin. And problem, it was working very well for the first 5 years, and after it started to leak. So That's why I just notify it, but I don't teach people how to do, because it doesn't work after 5 years. And in fact, I try to use earth even for waterproofing. And the main component for the waterproofing is a mixture of clay, lime, alum, and tannin. And what I understand from the behavior of the plaster, after a few years, the sun destroys alum and tannin, which are in fact the main waterproof component of the material, which just get destroyed by the sun. Now that's why they are painted with white paint, white waterproof paint. Training course, this is one of our major activities. So we have awareness programs in the villages. I just go with my laptop in the village sometimes. This is just to show messages to people, because unless you have a program behind, it does not lead anywhere. Awareness program to School of Architecture in our center. Different programs. At Chess Voltendome, we have a lot of people coming for this course since about 2000. Ramdas here, how to do soil identification. This is resistance. So this house was built in 1 week in Istanbul. It's a very small house, asked by UNHCR HS Habitat with a dome, which is earthquake resistant. Houses built in India, also earthquake resistant. I've developed a technique since 1996 till 2001 for this earthquake resistance. This was built in 66 hours. This one 62. So basically, these houses, they were transported to Auroville, first to Delhi, then to Gujarat in one truck, and then built in less than a week with my team. Then we have built this one in Gujarat after the earthquake, in Orissa here after the super cyclone of 99. In 99, there were wind up to 320 km an hour in Orissa. And this one will be with Chinese. Then Gujarat again for the reconstruction after the earthquake. I spent almost 6 months in Gujarat after the earthquake, at different places of time, to help them to rebuild something. And we have government approval from Gujarat first for this earthquake resistance, from Iran, and also from Tamil Nadu for the tsunami. Then different achievements like Nataraja Temple near Pondicherry, near Auroville, on the way to Chennai. So we have here a dome inside, a square dome, a pyramid on top. It's called the China Pyramid of Auroville. China means small in Tamil, mm-hmm. because you have the Great Pyramid in Egypt, and this is about 100 times less on the side. It's only 14 meters, 10 times less, 14 meters long only, and Nataraja inside. Dome of the Dalalinga, built in 9 weeks. So this is the only work that I did with fire bricks. And it was a bit unfortunate for me, because it's not because of the span that you cannot do it with earth blocks, but only with the schedule of the site. Because the guru had to finish them very fast, and I could not produce the blocks fast enough for this dome. And we had to deliver bricks from Kerala. It was built in 9 weeks. With mostly unskilled labor. So I had to manage every day about 200 workers with 25 local masons. And they never built with more than 1 inch accuracy in their place, but here I asked 1 millimeter accuracy and they could manage more or less. I think they could manage with 2 or 3 millimeters accuracy and not 1 inch. Inside. But with the earth blocks, it will be the same to build it. Not easier, I would say, because you see the blocks are very rough, but with CSCB, it would have been easier. Not faster, but easier. A mosque in Saudi Arabia, done in 7 weeks, exactly 49 days from here to there. In fact, I went first to Saudi Arabia to make the plans in August. 2004, then to start the block making. They did the blocks when I went back to Auroville. And when I came back in December, to build it with, I had four people from Auroville with people from the local local villages. So this they don't work. So this is just, or don't take money. And the rest, Indians, Pakistanis, and Filipinos, they build for them. So basically, brief use. Every day we have to manage about 225 workers, 75 masons and 150 workers. And none of them spoke English, of course. They were mostly Pakistani. That means they spoke first English to the supervisor from CIA. Then it translated from English to Arabic to the Pakistani Urdu, Pakistani supervisor. And then from Arabic to Urdu for his masons. And imagine what remained at the end for the information. And of course, but still it was built in 7 weeks. And after we left, the contract took 7 months to finish the mosque. After 7 weeks, there were all the cables in the pipes. It just had to paint, put the carpet, put the finishers, and then put the plugs in the on the socket. That's all. It took 7 months for that. So this is something important for me, because if you want to build reserves, like if you want to do anything in the world, you have first to think of that. So how to manage resources in such a way that you don't get problems behind. So do you know what is the definition of suitability? Everybody speaks about it, but what is the definition? Everybody speaks of sustainability, but what is the definition? I don't know. It was given by a World Summit somewhere, I don't remember where. But it says more or less that it's a development which does not hinder the development of future generations.
That's the version of it, yeah.
Yeah. It's a development which does not hinder the development of future generations. That means whatever you do today, your children should be able to do the same tomorrow, or even after one century. And that's why in French it's called durable development. It's not sustainable, but durable. It's in the time of span of time. An example from the French history, it is from Cardinal Richelieu, who was a religious man and chief of the armies of Louis XIII. I think this is the 16th century. He had the foresight to plant trees for the navy coming after 2 centuries after him. Because at that time all the boats were made of wood. And for the mast, you need to have a special kind of wood, very tall and very old. That means about 100 years old tree before you can cut it. So he had the foresight to plant trees which can be used after 200 years. What he did not know is after 200 years, he will not have wooden boats anymore. But the guy, he planted trees in a special forest in France where they grow for the navy coming after 2 centuries. So who has this foresight today in the world? Not even the best ecologists anywhere. So we can build reserves if we manage properly the resources. Because all we have seen in buildings in the world up to now, there is always a total integration with the buildings in nature. And today we have to deal with it in the same way. From the Upanishad, I just let you read. So in other words, it speaks of equity, but also sustainability and ecology, because you have to be careful with what you do of the resources. Of course, not grab from the others. What should not be done? This is Auroville, unfortunately. This also. This is Pondichéry. This is Pondichéry here. This is Pondichéry also. A hole becomes always a garbage dump, without exception. That you are in Europe, in France, in Germany, in USA, or in Mexico, or here, it always becomes a garbage dump. This should not be done. If you need to have a hole to put garbage, maybe, but then control what's happening. It means control the water table, control what's happening after with the waste. And this was unfortunately in Auroville. I was secretary of the site. I had an accident on this site. And then when I was completely knocked out, they filled the hole for the wastewater treatment. Because the teachers, they don't want to have the hole for the wastewater treatment. After they did the mess with the wastewater treatment, and they filled the hole with garbage. Hopefully it was not organic waste, but still you have shit below this hole. Of course, now there is topsoil, trees have grown, but I cannot accept, especially in Auroville, that people do that.
This is horrible.
Deep Panam. Auroville waste or whatever. I did not ask for more the waste came.
No, because this happens before Kamala.
Yeah, but this is Pondicherry. No, this was the Panam School, ex-Miramiku. And then teachers just dropped us in cell life. It was mostly rubbles, stones, all kind of waste. But it's not acceptable. This was designed for being a wastewater system, completely integrated with landscaping and nature, to have a big pool of water for gardening and so on. And no. And this garbage in Pondy. On the opposite, you can do that. So this example that we do here with wastewater treatment property integrated with the building with the landscape around, rainwater harvesting system. So here you have a landscape with a bridge for people, children can play. And you have this level is about 70 centimeters lower than the top here. That means you can harvest all the rainwater falling on the land and the pigeon nearby without being flooded on the other land. Rainwater harvesting system also for the gas, it is in the gas. This pit here of 70 cubic meters harvests rainwater for about almost 1 hectare of land. This works really well because in 2000 we had the rain in 5 days of 402 mm of rain. It was a condensed shower for four days. After the most heavy rain of that time, we had 180 mm of rain that day. I went on site, the water level stopped below the sill of the building, and 1 hour after, water was down by 20 centimeters. And totally, the water system harvested about 470 cubic meters of water. One day after the end of the rain, there was no drop in the system. Because you have really to think of resource management not only for the earth, but especially for water. And you have to raise the water table everywhere. That means in 6 days, you send to the ground without any erosion anywhere, 570 cubic meters of water. Just by calculation, it means you just have topsoil and grass, which helps the water to go down, and the water does not erode and then doesn't run. Basement floor, because this system is for this building. I took all the years from the basement floor to build 4 floors. Because in Vikas at that time, I did not need any more hole for the development. That's why I did the concept of a basement floor where I dig underground, take the earth to build 4 floors with it, and after I have even more soil because I have to drain the site. And this I have more soil for something else. What's with the treatment here? So how would we dig it after having done the plants? Landscape it with grass and topsoil, and then you have something totally integrated here. This was earth for 4 houses. A village tank in Kuala Playam. So this was from this hole here, I took earth for 4 houses. And at the end, I can harvest water for 4 houses. And I did also with the rainwater because there was a lot of erosion afterwards here. And here we stop with band-aids all the water to go in. It percolates inside before it goes to the canyon. As we don't fire the bricks, we are much more eco-friendly. It's about 4 times less. In fact, this is the average engine level. Because when you compare with the fire bricks, we are about four times less energy consuming and 4 times less carbon emitting. Compared to the local area, we are about 8 times less. Because in the villages nearby, they do that. They do what is called climb kilns, very big kilns like this, put wood inside, and burn this. So this is about 8 times more than this. But this is the average Indian level. When you compare all the different types of kilns, it comes to 4 times only, but locally it is about 8 times. That means even in terms of cost, if sometimes are more expensive, you have to think on the long run. And on the long run is this, not PESA. PESA is just today. Tomorrow it will be different, more or less expensive maybe, but this is the value that I have to deal with. Cost effective, yes, but not cheap anymore. This is all value. This is wrong now. Because what's happening now, you can buy your fabrics at ₹2.50 a brick. In January 2008, you could buy the same at 3 rupees a brick. There is in between almost 20% inflation in 1.5 year. And today you pay the fabrics 15% cheaper than in 2008. And of course, I cannot compete with this cost because in the same time, the labor has increased a lot. cement has also increased a lot, and the fabrics decrease. That means today, for the first time in 20 years, we are about 3 to 5% costlier. It's unfortunate for me because until last year I was between 12 to 20% cheaper, and today I cannot say I'm cheaper. I'm more eco-friendly maybe, but I'm not cheaper. This may change in the next month, I don't know, maybe after the next month, the brick will jump at 4 rupees, I don't know. It's just related to market demand, that's all. There's a lot of demand maybe, that's why they supply at a cheap rate. Now we see some buildings with earth. I'm not too long, no? I have almost
5 minutes maybe.
Maybe 5 minutes if you have some questions, and then I have again something like soft slides. Maybe you can have a small break, and if you want to ask questions,
Have a break now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better because I have almost now. It's mostly photos of buildings. I don't have to speak too much. Buildings done by different people. I don't show here only what we do ourselves, but what has been done in Euroville, done by different 30,000 architects. It's done by Gloria. This is done by Raman. Done by ourselves. Ramders and CSCB. Basia Hassini. This is Jürgen in Urban Davan. Walls and domes at Vikas. This was built by people themselves. I just did a sketch of the building, turned them in 3 weeks, and then I left for Brazil where I was a prof in 6 months. And when I came back, there were 7 houses built like this. People would never let them a brick before. And after only 3 weeks of training, they could be able to build these buildings. And I had not even proper plan, just did a sketch for them, and then they managed. This is my house, how we built it. We have a window frame to give the shape of the wall. We put some string lines between the window frame and backside. There is a pipe bent with the shape that you want. Then, and for this we took 37 days to build it up to there, from here to there. And then once finished, inside my living room, later on I built a bedroom on the side. With different shape of wall inside the bedroom. A house built in 64 hours last year here. This was a big challenge for me because, by experience, whatever you can do in the world cannot be done here. I have built houses in 30 hours, 62, 66, but outside of Auroville. And I tried in Auroville to build this one and we lived in 64. I tried to have it less than 62. But it was between both. So, and this is a dismantleable house. You can move it. Just have to dismantle it piece by piece, move it and rebuild it. There is no cement anywhere. Fine, yes, there is cement in the blocks, there is precast ferrocement cement channels, there is precast concrete sometimes, but everything can be dismantleable. Just mud mortar in between. And reinforcement with bamboo inside.
When you say mud, are your foundations, right?
Yeah, but precast foundations, which are composite beams put on the ground, foundations are this deep only. We just have dug a little bit around it, put precast beams, and then to have a stable base, and then build above. But this will be a painful house to, we will have to dismantle it. It will be dismantled, I think, in 2 or 3 years. But to rebuild it, I'm not sure. It's a painful exercise.
It can be dismantling quicker?
Sorry?
Can you dismantle it in
a
few hours than 64?
No. Maybe yes. In fact, the main problem, in fact, is the ferrocement channels. Because they are so heavy. This one, every channel is about, 400 to 500 kilos. And it's quite heavy to lift. As well, the rest is just like a mecano, just like a big puzzle, you just build it quite fast. It's a nice exercise, but the main problem is this roof. So, apartments in Auroville, joined by Jean, before I came to Auroville. This is by Helmut in 95, I think. This was Sini in Pratna, Sini also. Apartments of Vickers, to develop from 91 to 98, 4 apartments first. for certain apartments with on four floors. So here we took the earth from the basement to build four floors, because this building is totally self-sufficient for its sole need. I don't need to take earth from anywhere. I just dig the basement. At the end, the building is slightly more humid in winter when it rains, but it's cool in summer. And now it's too dark. The bottom basement is too dark because the grain has grown so much that I should have more windows. In fact, the windows here are the same than above, but they should be larger because the trees have grown so much, the canopy is so high that no light comes in. But this is a good solution for Roville also. Realization housing, I don't have photos because in fact this one is almost finished now. In fact, we have finished all the work constructions here, but I don't have photos on this presentation. So we have wind energy, rainwater harvesting, biological wastewater system, and earth tunnel for natural cooling. So basically, we combine the rainwater harvesting and the earth tunnel to have both systems to work together, because the pipes with air goes through the rainwater tank. So basically, do you know what is earth tunnel? No? Basically, you send underground a pipe with air. You have to be at a certain depth where you have always the same temperature on the ground. At 3.5 meters deep here, you have about 27 degrees all over the year, which is the average temperature in the air. That means what we do, we'll send an air of about 42 degrees from outside, goes underground 35 meters deep, 35 meters long, 3.5 meters deep, and when we come back in the room, it should be around, we hope, 32 degrees, according to our calculations. It's a big challenge in Tamil Nadu because it should not be done officially, because it's too humid and too hot, but we should try. And we receive a donation from France fully for that. And if it works well, I will do it for the other buildings. Because if you can have 10 degrees lower than the natural air outside, with a door, you just need a fan, and a fan of 45 watts. Mm-hmm. Not in your room, just after at the entrance of the pipe at 35 meters, you have a fan of 45 watts only to push here inside. It's enough. That means you have this fan is consuming about 75 watts. And you have it how many hours in the day? And they're not cooler. You just have a blast of air, just move the air. So here we hope to have a movement of air with the fan, plus we hope 7 to 10 degrees lower. Let's see if it works.
So wind energy here, can you just explain?
Yes. Quickly. It's not drones, it was the first designs in fact. So here we'll have a wind pump. Because the system in fact is wind energy for the rainwater. Not to pump water from the water table, but from the rainwater tanks. So in fact every building has its own rainwater harvesting tank. So which the earth tunnel is going. They will be all connected with the main water tank below here. There is a Savonius wind pump, it's a vertical wind pump, a vertical shaft wind pump. It means it will make less noise, it will look a little better than the big flower. It will lift water from the underground tank to the overhead tank. And then we have enough water for 1 year for 25 people. In fact, we aim to have totally autonomous use of water from the rain. If, of course, people use water with maximum of 125 liters per day. Which is not at all done in Norway. 125 liters per day. Which is normally done because in Germany, people, they follow the standard. They have in Germany this kind of construction all over Germany. In Norway, it's more like 200 or 250 liters per day with gardens. But here we'll have wastewater system, so we can pump back the water for the gardens from the wastewater system. In fact, the wastewater system will be supplied from the rainwater for the domestic purpose and then put in the gardens. This is the theory if people they don't consume too much. If not, they will have no water for 6 months. And then next year they will be more careful. If you want. It's almost finished. I have almost finished. I will pass quickly the energy. So this is something important for us. We have about 4 times less emissions than the conventional buildings. I pass fast. Operational energy is the same. about half energies in the normal buildings. Different apartments, solar kitchen, go fast now. You have seen enough. And this you can see by yourself later. Different buildings. Schools. In Pondicherry, this one. A showroom in Pondicherry. A school in Auroville, Dipanam. Vault done in 3 weeks. 10.5 meters span, 10.35 meters span, done like this, without any shutterings. Group photo. The Amas, they were afraid to climb on top, but they were not afraid to take the ball on the head. That was the message. In fact, with the Saris, they could not climb there. Vault of our center, done in 2 weeks. Different kinds of walls. And maybe I stop here. The rest is technology. All this is built without any formwork. I stop here because the rest is how we do this.
Thank you.
Can we make a 10-minute break? There is the and we have the last presentation with Manuel Green Design.